Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and today's show is for Monday, December the 12th, 2016, and we are going to start in the book of 2 Samuel, Shamuel. 1 and 2 Samuel were all one book, pardon me, when they were originally written, but they were separated when the Hebrew Bible was published. And all the versions today basically have them separated. So I'm doing them as separate books for ease of study for the listeners. I have them all in one book for my use. But I'm going to be doing them in the format of the King James, pardon me, version. And that makes it easier for everybody to study. And that's the whole point. I want people to study along with me. And this is the continuing story of David. And it starts out after the death of Shaul. So let's get into it. Pardon me, I've been drinking orange juice trying to clear my throat, but every once in a while I may have to mute the microphone and cough. I'm still having bronchial problems. This is going to be an ongoing thing. All winter, it's just not going to let up. So please forgive me and bear with me. It gets a little rough, and I'm going to continue to sip on some cold orange juice to try to keep my throat clear. But let's get into chapter 1 of the book of 2 Samuel. Verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Shaul, when David returned from the smiting of the Amaleki, those are the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. Verse 2, it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out from the camp with Shaul with his clothes rent and soil, that's 127, Adama, upon his head. That's a sign of mourning. And it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. Verse 3. Said David to him, from where then have you come? He replied to him, from the camp of Israel I have escaped. Verse 4, said David to him, how went the matter? Please tell me. He answered, the people have fled from the battle, and many of the people are also fallen and dead, and Shaul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. verse 5, said David to the young man that told him, how do you know that Shaul and Jonathan are dead? Verse 6. And verses 6 through 10 here, you can reference 1 Samuel 31, verses 1 through 6, and 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Said the young man that told him, I chanced to be present, 7136. Chanced to be present is all one word. Nicarethi. In the encounter, 7122, at Mount Gilboa, and beheld Shaul leaning, 8172, upon his spear, and lo, the chariots, 7393, and horsemen, 6571, pursued closely. That's one word, 1692. In other words, they were chasing him real close. Verse 7. When he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me. I answered, behold me. In other words, here I am. 2009. Hineni. Verse 8. Said he to me, who are you? And I answered him, I am an Amaleki. In other words, I am an Amalekite. Verse 9. Said he to me, please stand over me and kill me, because anguish, 7661, has taken hold of me, because my life is yet whole in me. Verse 10, so I stood over him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen, and I took the crown, 5145, that was on his head, and the bracelet, 685, that was upon his arm, and have brought them here to my lord. Verse 11. David took hold of his clothes. Took hold is 2388. To seize. Okay. And rent them. I mean, he just ripped them. He tore them. 7167. And likewise, all the men that were with him. That was a sign of grief in Israel. Ripping your clothes and casting dirt on your head. Verse 12. And they lamented, 5594, and wept, 1058. And fasted, 6684, until evening, for Shaul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of Yahweh and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. Verse 13, said David to the young man that told him, from where then are you? And he answered, I am the son of a resident alien man, an Amaleki. That resident alien is 1616, a sojourner. And it also means a resident alien. Verse 14, and here it comes. Remember, David would never smite Shaul because he was anointed. Well, verse 14. Said Dawood to him, How were you not afraid to stretch forth your hand to destroy Yahweh's anointed? Verse 15. Called Dawood one of the young men and said, Approach and strike him down. That's one word. Strike him down. 6293. And he smote him unto death. He killed him. And while he was laying there on the floor bleeding out, he wasn't quite dead. Verse 16. Said Dawood to him, Your blood guilt, or your blood, literally, is upon your head. For your mouth has testified against you, saying, I have slain Yahweh's anointed. Now, if he had just recounted the tale of the battle and hadn't admitted killing Shaul, Dawood probably would have let him live. But he committed a terrible, terrible crime in killing Shaul. Now, if he was killed in battle, that was one thing. He was already sorely wounded and would have died. But it wasn't right for this young man to kill him, to finish him off. Yahweh would have taken his life. And he was an Amaleki. And he had slaughtered the anointed of Israel, because Shaul was still anointed and was still king. So that was a big sin. So Dawood had him killed right there on the spot. Boom. Strike him down. Now, this is a dirge. Song, which is a funeral song, a mourning song, song of mourning. And verses 18 through 27 are the funeral dirge that Dawood chanted. Verse 17, Dawood chanted, 6969, with this dirge, 7015, over Shaul and over Jonathan his son. Actually, verse 19 through 27 are the actual dirge. Verse 18 is considered corrupt. So it's there may be some misnomers in this, but I'm going to read it as I have it translated the best I could. Also, he said to teach 3925 the children of Yahuda, the bow, 7198. Behold, it is written upon the scroll, 5612, of Yashar, 3477. Yashar, the upright, the scroll or book of the upright, the book of Yashar. And you can reference the book, that's Jasher in English with a J, chapter 56, verse 9, and the book of Joshua, Yahshua, chapter 10, verse 13, and the bow, 7198, could be a song called The Bow, or it could be the use of bows as weapons, okay? It could be either one of those, so it isn't specified. So here comes the funeral dirge, verse 19. The beauty, 6643, of Israel is slain, 2491. upon the high places, 1116. How are the mighty, 1368, fallen? Yeah, I get down the end of my breath, and that's when I have to cough. It bothers my chest. Verse 20, tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Pelishtim rejoice, lest the daughters of the possessors of foreskin exult. Verse 21, O hills of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you. No fields, 7704, of contribution, 8641. For there the shield, 4043, of the mighty is rejected, the shield of Shaul, not smeared, 4886, with oil. Verse 22, from the blood of the slain, from the fat, 2459, of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Shaul did not return in vain. 7387. Verse 23. Shaul and Jonathan. Lovely, that's 157, and delightful, 5273. In their lives and in their death, never separated, 6504. Swifter, 7043, than eagles, 5404. Stronger, 1396, than lions, 738. Verse 24, daughters of Israel, weep over Shaul, who clothed you in scarlet and luxury, 5730, putting on ornaments, 5716, of gold upon your raiment. Verse 25, how the mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle, Jonathan slain on your high places. Verse 26, I am distressed, 6887, over you, my brother Jonathan. Very delightful, 5276, you were to me. Your love, 160, was wonderful, 6381, to me. Beyond the love of women. In other words, he was a faithful friend, even more loyal in his brotherly love than the love of a woman for a man. Because even Michal, later on, is going to despise David, the one that loved him, okay? He's had experience with this. Verse 27, how are the mighty fallen? The weapons, 3627, of war perished, 6. Now remember, Shaul had made concerted effort to kill Dawid on many occasions. But Dawid was a righteous man at this point, and he forgave him and would never reach out to strike him down, wouldn't retaliate. He obeyed the laws of Yahweh. So, What can you say about this? He did this beautiful funeral dirge because Dawid was an accomplished musician, remember? And he did this marvelous funeral dirge for Shaul and Jonathan, even though Shaul had treated him badly and tried to harm him. Didn't matter. He was very upset about the death of Jonathan. Jonathan was his best friend. And they were... It's hard to explain to people that have never really had a very deep friendship like that. It has nothing to do with sexuality whatsoever. It's a deep bonding, and unless you've experienced it and you've had a friend that good in your life, you really would not understand. So I'm just going to leave it at that. They were very, very close. And I don't have the words to explain the exact nature of the relationship. But take it from me, it was not a homosexual relationship. And this is chapter 2. And here is where Dawud becomes the king of the tribe of Yehuda. Verse 1. It was after this, Dawud inquired of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Yehuda?" And said Yahweh to him, "Go up." Okay. And said Dawud, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, referring to Yahweh, "Kebrona," that's Hebron. Okay. So Dawud went up there with his two wives also, Ahinoam the Yezreelite, and Abigail, wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Verse 3. The men with Dawud brought up the men of his household, or the men with him, pardon me, I missed a word. The men with him Dawud brought up, the men of his household, and they dwelt in the towns of Hebron. And verse 2, you can reference 1 Samuel chapter 25, 42, and 43. And here we are at verse 4, and you can reference 1 Samuel 31, verses 11 through 13. Verse 4, the men of Yehuda came, and there they anointed Dawud king over the house of Yehuda. They told Dawud, saying, "The men of Jabesh Gilead were those that buried Shaul." Verse 5, sent Dawud messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead, saying to them, "Blessed be you of Yahweh, that you did this kindness to your lord, to Shaul, and have buried him." That was a very great honor they did him. They went and got his body and Jonathan's body, and they gave him a proper burial. Verse 6. May now Yahweh do kindness and faithfulness to you. I also will do you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now, let your hands be strengthened and be sons of valor. For your master Shaul is dead, and also the house of Yehuda has anointed me king over them. Verse 8. But Abner, son of Ner, commander of Shaul's army, took Ish-bosheth, 378, son of Shaul. Now, Ish-bosheth, that's number 378, is comprised of 376 and 1322, and it means man of shame. He took Ish-bosheth, son of Shaul, and brought him over to Machanaim, 4266. Verse 9, and made him king over Gilead, the Asheri, 805, Yisrael, Ephraim, Binyamin, and all Israel. Verse 10, 40 years of age was Ish-bosheth, son of Shaul, when he became king over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Yehuda followed David. Verse 11, the full time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Yehuda was 7 years and 6 months. And now we're coming into a section where there's a war between Israel and Yehuda. There is already a split forming that would fester for years. Verse 12, Abner, son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, son of Shaul, went forth from Machanaim to Gibeon. Verse 13, Joab, 3097, that's Joab in your English King James, son of Zeruiah, 6870, and the servants of David went forth and met, 6298, together, 3162, by the pool, 1295, of Gibeon. And they sat down, these, 428, on this side, 2088, and those, 428, on the other side, 2088. These and those are both 428. And this side and the other side are 2088. That's how it was done in the Hebrew. Same word. Verse 14, said Abner to Joab, let the young men now rise up and make sport. 7832, as that's we sakaku, as engage in single combat. Said Joab, let them rise up. There rose up and passed over by number 12 of Binyamin of Ish-bosheth, son of Shaul, and 12 of the servants of David. Verse 16, they seized 2388, Wayakazaku, each man, another man, by the head, and thrust his sword in the other side, so they fell down together. In other words, they all killed each other. So that place was called Kelikoth Hatsurim, which is in Gibeon. That field of the flints, and the flints are as sharp blades. Okay, that's the field of the sharp blades, because they all killed each other, which is in Gibeon. Verse 17, there was a very severe 7186 battle that day. And Abner was smitten, 5062, and the men of Israel before the servants of Dawid. In other words, Yehuda prevailed because they were the greatest warriors of all of Israel. Verse 18, there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Asahel, 6214. Asahel was swift, 7031, of foot as a wild, 7704, gazelle, 6643. Asahel pursued after Abner. As he went, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Verse 22, Abner looked behind and said, are you Asahel? And he answered, I am. Verse 21, said Abner to him, turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and lay hold on 270, one of the young men, and take away his armor. 2488, but Asahel would not turn aside from following. Verse 22, said Abner to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I smite you to the ground? How could I raise up my face to Joab, your brother? In other words, he was friends with Joab. He didn't want to kill his brother. Verse 23, he refused to turn aside. So smote Abner with the hinder end of the spear. In other words, he poked him with the back end of the spear, not the pointy end, to the belly. 2570, he hit him so hard, so that the spear came forth from behind him, and he fell down there and died in that place. 8478, and it was all that came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still, 5975. In other words, he hit him so hard that the blunt end of the spear went all the way through him. That's why he wanted him to put armor on, so he could just knock him down and not kill him. But he wouldn't do it. Verse 24, pursued Joab and Abishai after Abner. Those were the two brothers, and they were going after the man that just killed their younger brother. And the sun went down when they came to the hill of Amnah, 522, that faces upon Giach, 1520, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. Verse 25, the children of Benjamin gathered after Abner, and became one group, 92, and stood on the top of a hill. Verse 26, called out Abner to Joab and said, must a sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitterness, 4751, at the end? How, 314, how long without you saying to the people to turn back from following their kinsmen? In other words, they had brother killing brother. You know, the kinsmen, they were all of the same people. Verse 27, said Joab, as Elohim lives, because unless you had spoken, surely then in the morning the people would have gone up every man from following his kinsmen. Verse 28, so Joab blew a shofar, 7782, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, nor fought any more. Verse 29, Abner and his men walked all night through the Arabah, 6160, that's a desert plain, and passed over the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, and went through all of Bithron, 1338, and came to Machanaim. Verse 30, Joab returned from following Abner, and he gathered all the people. There was missing of Dawood's servants 19 men and Asahel. There was only 19 people and Asahel, so that was 20 people of Yehuda that died in the battle. Verse 31, but the servants of Dawood had smitten of Binyamin of Abner's men, 360 men that died. Yehuda under Joab only lost 20 men. And the other Israelites that they were fighting lost 360 men. Verse 32. Pardon me. They bore up Asahel and buried him in the tomb of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men walked all night and came to Hebron at daylight. Now you note that Abner tried to talk Asahel out of the fight, and he did not try to kill. He tried to poke him in the stomach with the blunt point, but Asahel had refused armor, and Abner was a mighty man, and even that backwards blow was fatal. So it was not an intentional killing on his part. Now we get into chapter 3. We're going to do all three chapters here this morning. Verse 1, there was a long war between the house of Shaul and the house of Dawood. But Dawood walked strongly, 2390, and the house of Shaul walked weakly, 1800. Dawood increased in strength, and Shaul's house grew weaker. Verse 2, born to Dawood were sons in Hebron. Firstborn was Amnon, 550, of Ahinoam the Yisraelith. And verses 2 through 5, you can reference 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Verse 3, the second, Kileab, 3609, of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmeli. The third, Absalom, 53, son of Maaka, daughter of Talmai, 8526, king of Geshur. Four, the fourth, Adoniah, 138, son of Haggith, 2294. The fifth, Shephatiah, 8203, son of Abital, 37. Five, the sixth, Yithream, 3507, by Eglah, Dawood's wife. These were born to Dawood at Hebron. So first he had Michal, who was now with another man, but that's going to change. And then he has Ahinoam and Abigail and Maaka and Chagith. And Abital. So he's got him a little harem going there. Verse 8. It was, while there was war between the house of Shaul and the house of Dawood, that Abner was strong 2388 for the house of Shaul. 7. Shaul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, 7532, daughter of Aiah, 345, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore, 4069, have you gone into my father's concubine?" In other words, why did you have sex with my father's concubine? He had not. Verse 8. He was falsely accusing him. Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's 3611 head 7218, which belongs to Yehuda, doing kindness this day to the house of Shaul, your father, and to his kinsmen and to his friends, and have not delivered you up 4672, and that means it's caused to be found by the hand of Dawid that you lay 6485 upon me today iniquity 5771 concerning this woman." He's really angry. Verse 9, "So do Elohim to Abner and more also, because as Yahweh has sworn to Dawid, even so I do to him." Verse 10, "To pass over the kingdom from the house of Shaul and to set up the throne of Dawid over Israel and over Yehuda from Dan, 1835, that's the tribe of Dan, and also a city, to Be'er Sheba." And Ishbosheth was very, very afraid. He just ran off the chief of his armies. Verse 11, "He could not return Abner a word again from fear of him." Verse 12, "Abner sent messengers to Dawid on his behalf, saying, 'Whose, 4310, is the land?' Saying," oops, not too many pages down there, "'Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand is with you to turn around 5437, all Israel to you." Pay attention to your King James Version. What I am about to say to you here is radically different from what they have for verse 13. So this is how it actually reads, not their perverted translation. Verse 13, "Said he, 'Good, I will make a covenant with you, but one thing I demand, 7592, from you by command or word, 559, you shall not appear before me unless before me you bring Michal, daughter of Shaul, when you come to appear before me." In other words, he has commanded him, "I'll make a covenant with you, but you have to bring my first wife back to me from whoever she's living with." Verse 14. And you can reference 1 Samuel chapter 18, 27 for verse 14. "Dawid sent messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Shaul, saying, 'Give me my wife Michal, which I betrothed 781 to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistim.'" Verse 15, "Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel, 6409, son of Laish, 3919. Verse 16, "Her husband walked with her going weeping, 1058 after her to Bakurim 980. Said Abner to him, go, return. And he returned. He ran him off. Quit crying. She wasn't your wife in the first place, in other words. Verse 17. Abner had spoken with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David to become king over you in times past. Verse 18. Now do it, because Yahweh has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of Philistim and from the hand of their hated enemies. That was quoting what Yahweh had said. Verse 19. Abner also spoke in the ears of Binyamin, the tribe of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that was good in the eyes of Israel, and in the eyes of the whole house of Binyamin. Verse 20. So Abner came to David at Hebron, and 20 men with him. David made a feast, 49-60, for Abner and the men that were with him. Verse 21. Said Abner to David, I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, so that you may reign over all that your heart desires. The heart here is 5315, your inner being, all that your inner being desires. David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Verse 22. Behold, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought in great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, because he had sent him away and he was gone in peace. Verse 23, when Joab and all the army that was with him had come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Well, remember, Abner killed his younger brother. Verse 24, when Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came to you, and why have you sent him away, and he is gone? Verse 25, you know Abner, the son of Ner, for he came to deceive you, 6601, to know your going forth and coming in, to know all that you do. Verse 26, when Joab came forth from before David, he sent messengers after Abner, and they returned with him from the well, 953 of Sirah, 5626. But David did not know. Verse 27. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside, 5186, to the middle of the gate, to speak with him quietly, 7987, and smote into his belly, 2570, so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. He acted in that verse as a kinsman avenger of blood. And you can reference Numbers 35:12, Deuteronomy 19:6-12, Joshua 20:3-5-9. And you can reference about Asahel in 2 Samuel 2:23. Verse 28. In other words, he just killed a guy that was going to bring all of Israel over to David. Bad deal. Verse 28. So when David heard, he said, I and my kingdom are free from guilt, 5355, from before Yahweh until everlasting, from the blood of Abner, son of Ner. Verse 29. Verse 29. May it rest upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house, and let there not fail to be 3772 from the house of Joab, one that has a flow, 2100, an unclean discharge, or is leprous, 6879, or a male that holds, 2388, a spindle, 6418. That's a disgraceful work for a man. It's a woman's work. Or falls by the sword, or that lacks, 2638, food. This is a curse. What he said, let there not fail to be, in other words, let there be upon all of Joab's house somebody that has an unclean discharge, in other words, a venereal disease, or is leprous, or a male that holds a spindle, a feminine male, or falls by the sword, or that lacks food. Let them all lack food, or fall by the sword, or be queers, or have gonorrhea or leprosy. That's a powerful curse. Verse 30. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew, 2026, Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Verse 31. Said David to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird yourself with sackcloth and wail, 5594, before Abner. And King David followed the bier, 4296. Verse 32, they buried Abner in Hebron. The king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. Because he was a great man, was gonna do what was right and bring everybody over to Israel. Verse 33, the king chanted over Abner and said, should Abner have died as a fool dies? Verse 34, your hands were not bound, nor your feet brought near fetters. As a son falls before sons of injustice, that's 1121 and 5766, so you fell. In other words, you were unjustly killed. Because the kinsman avenger thing didn't apply in war. He used that kinsman of Joab used that kinsman avenger thing wrongly. Verse 35. When all the people came to cause David to eat food while it was still day, David swore, saying, so do Elohim to me and more also, if I taste food or anything at all before the sun goes down. He fasted. Verse 36, all the people took note of it, and it was pleasing in their eyes. All that the king did was pleasing in the eyes of the people. Verse 37, all the people and all of Israel knew that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, son of Ner. Verse 38, said the king to his servants, do you not know that a chief, 8269, and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? Verse 39, I am this day tender, 7390, though anointed king, and the men, these sons of Zeruiah, are too severe, 7186, for me. Yahweh will recompense the doer of evil according to his wickedness. 7390 here, tender, is translated weak sometimes. As a child is tender and weak. In other words, he was smitten inwardly because this righteous man that was going to be his great ally was killed unrighteously. By Joab. And he said, "These, I'm tender of feelings today. I'm weak and sick at heart, even though I'm anointed king." And the men, these sons of Zeruiah, and that's Joab and his brother, are too severe for me. In other words, they went way overboard and killed the man wrongly. With the public mourning and the fasting and the good words he said over Abner, he solidified all of Israel at that point. They were all behind him for his kingdom. And there was going to be future trouble with Joab and family. Joab was an egotistical fella. And it's going to show in later chapters. So we're going to get into chapters 4, 5, and 6 tomorrow on Tuesday. And that will... Result, basically, Ish-bosheth is going to be assassinated. That's the son of Shaul, and Dawud is not going to have anything to do with it because he swore he would not smite the sons, the bloodline of Shaul. He made an oath over that. So this is going to come about. All of these books about Dawud are just action-packed and just filled with all kinds of intrigue and murders, and this second book of Samuel, these chapters are a lot more exciting than the first book, which led up to this. Even though the first book of Samuel was a rock'em sock'em story, just all that history. These are some great books. Great acting. They're better than a lot of the action novels and movies that they've got out today. I mean, this stuff really happened. This is history. It is our history, Israelites. Well, I'm about down the end of my time, and I want to leave enough time to say that we need to stay strong, and we need to learn from all these scriptures. I will be back with you tomorrow doing chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book of 2 Samuel. It's not a long book. It's only got 24 chapters. So I will say Shalom Aleichem to you, and may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good evening, a good day. And I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus.